Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Let's start the week off with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us. That's sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but swing on by. You never know what might pop up on another day, just in case you don't want to miss out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. That'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And, you know, hey, since you went all the way over there, you might as well give that a like. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan Z Man with three E's. And I didn't
all
say
right,
anything
Dan,
banned off of Twitter.
Right. Now, you know, if you've listened to the podcast before, you know that Dan is genuinely the conspiracy guy here, but I found this one really interesting there, Dan. You know, at the end of the Packers-Buccaneers game, there was a we'll call it controversial, not because it was a penalty, but because for some reason it was the very first time in the entire game that the referees decided to call pass interference. Now, if you watch the game, receivers were getting grabbed and tugged and held and just about anything they could do to them, and there were no flags. Well, now all of a sudden we have a big third down. And, you know, again, like I said, it clearly was pass interference. There's no doubt about that. But they called it, of course, this gave the Buccaneers a first down and allowed them to run out the clock and win the game. So Tom Brady goes to a Super Bowl again. So what side are you on here, Dan? You buying the conspiracy theory, or was it just the ref who finally decided to make the right call after ignoring it for so long?
I think it was just a matter of not calling it at the right time. But, you know, do you feel like it was one of those at the point where let's just get this game over with?
You know, I don't honestly know. You know, like, I'm not one of the people who believe the NFL is fixed and that they want Brady to, you know, succeed in this stuff. But, man, if you are, you got all the evidence you needed yesterday to, you know, to kind of back up your claim. And, you know, I can completely understand if you're a Packer fan, which, you know, I'm not. I'm not a Packer hater like a lot of people in Chicago are. You know, I actually think they're a very good team and they do a nice job of running the franchise. But you know, I can understand, I would be ticked off too, because you can't keep a flag in your pocket all frickin' game. And then on what turns out to be the last actual offensive play, because it was just a couple kneel downs after that, you decide to pull it out and impact the end of the game. That's the biggest problem I have, is this idiot for some reason decided that now was the time to throw it after you know, 3 hours or 3.5 hours of it basically being sewn into his pocket. So I would be more interested on knowing why the hell he made that choice over if it was actually a conspiracy, you know, to get Brady into the Super Bowl, which, to be fair, Dan, you know, the NFL loves Brady in the Super Bowl. You know that, so.
Yeah, but if you think about it, this is not the NBA.
No.
Hold on.
So, yeah, you know, again, it kind of depends on what side you come down on this, on where you, you know, kind of fall in.
I was getting interrupted. But, I mean, if you think about it, you know, one of the reasons we always kind of say that the NBA is staged, I wouldn't say fixed, is by the way they advertise LeBron versus the league, you know. With that, the NFL doesn't need to stage anything to promote the Super Bowl. I mean, people already, scheduled the day off the Monday after the Super Bowl. They already scheduled it off. Or they've already, in their minds, are calling off. From what I understand, that's probably one of the biggest call-off days for a lot of places.
Yes.
More so than like a Christmas Day or even. So, you know, I guess my point is the NFL doesn't need to stage or fix to get to the Super Bowl. And when you think about it, I don't think anyone really believed that the Bills were going to beat the Chiefs. So you already have one half of a great story to sell. Again, they don't even need to sell the damn story. You got Patrick Mahomes. Who better to have him go up against than Brady or Aaron Rodgers? You know what I mean? So it's I could see your point, or the conspiracy point. One of the things I am pretty sure of, maybe I'm wrong and you could fill this one in, is only the head officiator has the mic, correct? Or the earpiece and all that. So it's not like they can really translate the, you know, I'm sure, you know, there's, as we learned with baseball and, you know, the Red Sox coach, there are ways to cheat, but without people finding out. So, I mean, I think that's the part where I lose kind of the conspiracy, because it doesn't really matter which one of these teams, the NFL is still going to draw a tremendous amount of ratings, whether it was the Bucs or Packers. But like you said, you know, one of the things that, like you pointed out, that bothers me with just these games in general, the NFL, NBA, I don't see it too much in hockey, sometimes in baseball, but officiating shouldn't determine the outcome of a game.
Right.
You know, it should be the players, the plays. And, you know, one of the hardest parts about the conspiracy, and I think that's why it gets thrown in there, just like with baseball and the NBA, I wouldn't say the NBA so much as because they just turn their head when they don't want to see something, as opposed to baseball and the NFL, it's open to interpretation. So, you know, at some point the referee kind of goes, that wasn't enough to be called a holding or whatever. So I could definitely see both sides of it, but I mean, let's see. I don't know. Watching the first half of the Bucks-Packers game, I gave up. I was like, well, this isn't even fun to watch. So we left. We drove an hour back and forth just to get a damn pretzel from Auntie Anne's because this game was boring. You know, I fell asleep. So, and I'm not saying it was boring because there's no action. It just, when a team's kind of getting blown out, I lose interest pretty quickly, especially in the NFL. I thought it was cool, but, you know, I think it's still going to be a great Super Bowl. Chiefs, Buccaneers.
Yeah, you know, and luckily, you know, for that first game, the Packers continued to come back. So it helped make the game a little better. But, Yeah, you know, and then right there at the end, if the ref doesn't make that call, the Packers do get the ball back with the opportunity to, you know, at least have a shot. So, but, you know, like my problem was, you know, the second game, I thought that kind of got out of hand really quick. And, you know, I can't watch the whole game anyways because I have to get up for work. So, I stayed with it as long as I could, and then that was the extent of it for me there. So, but yeah, and then what I found oddly, I guess strange now was, you know, pretty much right after the game, they're, you know, and no surprise, they're, you know, all over Aaron Rodgers after the game because they want to talk to him about why did you guys kick the field goal? Well, he's not the coach. It's not up to him on, what's going to actually happen. But then somehow they got the idea, and I have no idea where the hell this came from, that Aaron Rodgers possibly wants out of Green Bay. we're talking about a guy who's, you know, team just went to the NFC Championship, and, you know, no, they, you know, they didn't get to the Super Bowl, you know, I mean, and obviously that's the ultimate goal. But he's behind what is probably the best offensive line in football. And where else is he going to go where he's going to have this type of opportunity every single year to, you know, win his division? Because obviously they're in a pretty weak, you know, NFC, NFC Central there, he could go, you know, to San Francisco. They need a quarterback. You know, Aaron Rodgers has a contract, Dan. I mean, who the hell is going to give up the draft picks and value? We're talking multiple first round draft picks along with other compensation. So it's like, oh, hey, great, we have Aaron Rodgers. And now we can't do anything to put anybody else around him because we gave everything else away. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's like, I get it. He was upset. They just lost, and these guys got to go on Zoom. You know, he just missed out on a chance to go to the Super Bowl. You know, and obviously that late field goal call was kind of strange, you know, for his head coach to make. So I can understand, you know, and a quarterback never agrees with a field goal. You know, if it's first and goal from the 20 or fourth and goal from the 20 and the field goal team comes out, the quarterback still wants to go for it. That's just how it is. So, you know, that's completely understandable that he didn't agree with that, but to think that they would actually move him, especially when they don't have anything to replace him with, is just probably one of the stupidest stories, you know. And then right away I thought he's on the list of quarterbacks who may change teams. You know, there's Deshaun Watson and Matthew Stafford, who both have said they won out of where they are. And then, hey, oh, look, there's Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott, who can't go anywhere if he wanted to because the Cowboys can franchise him again. So it just gets incredibly moronic with these guys. And I get it. You've got to look for a week of stories now because there's only so much Super Bowl stuff you can write. But there's plenty of other quarterbacks that may actually move. You know, obviously Cam Newton needs a new home. It looks like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be out in San Francisco. You know, it's possible the Rams may move on from Jared Goff. Ben Roethlisberger may retire. So, you know, and I get that Aaron Rodgers is the bigger name, but damn, this is just flat out irresponsible reporting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much a big portion of it, but I mean, do you think some of it has to do with the fact that, you know, the reason they're bringing it up about Rodgers is, you know, Manning left the Colts and Brady left the Patriots. So by default, they just automatically assume if Rodgers were to leave, and this would never, you know, this is purely hypothetical, but let's just say Rodgers were to leave and take over Mitchell's job, and all of a sudden him and Nagy, and, you know, we're going to have Super Bowls. Well, we wouldn't have Super Bowls in Chicago, but you know where I'm going with it. I mean, is that kind of where you think they're going? They're just getting way ahead of themselves just because two great quarterbacks left their team at once upon a time and had success.
Well, you know, yeah, humorously in the story I saw on TV today, Dan, both of those guys were mentioned. But you have to remember, you know, the big difference between those two guys and Aaron Rodgers right now, they were free agents. They had their options to go wherever they wanted. Aaron Rodgers has a contract. So, you know, and even if he didn't have a contract, they could franchise him. You know, I mean, there's no reason, you know, to let a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers go when you're going to be good again next year. So that, you know, I mean, I could see if they were rebuilding. I mean, why didn't New England pay Tom Brady? Well, A, he didn't want to stay. But B, the team was going to be bad. You know, they knew they were going to have a down season. Even if Tom Brady was their quarterback, you know, maybe they catch a wild card spot, but they weren't a Super Bowl contender. Even with Tom Brady, they weren't last season. So, you know, it was time there to make the transition. So, you know, unfortunately it happened. Why did the Colts let Peyton Manning go? Well, he had a debilitating neck injury, and they didn't want to pay him the money it was going to keep him to stick around. I mean, let's be fair. Yes, Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. But you and I watched that game in your living room. It was the Denver defense that won that game. Manning just managed it enough so the Broncos could win. So, you know, it's just completely three different situations, and they're trying to merge it together, and a lot of it has to do with because the Packers drafted a quarterback in the first round last year, but when they also drafted Rodgers in the first round when they had Brett Favre, and he sat for multiple years behind Brett Favre, and it made him a better quarterback. Is it possible they're looking for the same transition now and they're not in the same atmosphere as these other moronic NFL teams who spend the number two pick in the draft on a quarterback, put him in his first year, and he busts out, and now you're right back where you were 4 years ago, Bears? Simulation, and I wasn't implying that any team did that. So, you know, again, it's kind of stupid. And, you know, they seem to be living off this quote yesterday. Rodgers said, "I don't really know what's next for me." Okay, well, you know, who knows? Maybe he decides to walk away. I mean, Andrew Luck did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess that's always possible. But, you know, you're looking at a guy, you know, he's under contract through 2023. So he's got two more years left on his deal that's going to end up paying him a total of $134 million. So you would be asking a team to take on a lot of money at the back end of a deal. And it's just, again, it's just incredibly irresponsible that automatically you assume he's leaving Green Bay. He wants out of Green Bay. Oh, Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay where he's done nothing but win.
Well, you know, and like
you know what I mean?
Well, and like you said, I mean, it's not like they're going to go into next season. And, I mean, let's be honest. Who's going to win that division? Who has the chance to win that division? Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's a new season. So all four teams have the opportunity to win. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, let's give coach speak, so to speak. And we put that all out there. But let's be honest. The Bears, even if they land Deshaun Watson, I don't see them winning the division. Minnesota, I mean, they've been going to win the division for the last 4 years. And they always have, like, you know, they have somewhat of a strong start, and then they just fizzle out. I always said if you take the Vikings offense and Bears defense and just combine them, you probably have one of the best teams in the NFL. But that'll never happen. And, you know, kind of a personal thing, Big Jack, I had a friend this morning on Facebook, you know, diehard Bears fan, you know, refers to the Packers as, you know, many other names, you know,
yeah,
telling everyone that all his Packer friends need to just, you could stay butthurt because he doesn't care. He's going to continue to say what he says. And, you know, I didn't comment, but in my head I'm going, I don't say a word to any of my Packer friends because, hey, knock, knock, who's there? Oh, the 1985 Bears, that's who's there for us. We've been running that stupid ticket for the last almost 40 years now. If I'm a Packers fan, I'm not butthurt. I'm not angry. I just say 1985, and I walk away. You know, because I just – the Bears aren't doing anything. They haven't. They had that one shot, and it all was relied on Devin Hester, and Indianapolis said, hey, how about we don't kick the ball to Hester? That sounds like a good idea.
Only
you know, I mean,
right?
Yeah. I mean, do you think coach, that one guy who used to be in the league, who's not a coach anymore, now I can't remember his name for whatever reason. I mean, do you think that he needed his entire coaching staff, the owner, you know, 35 consultants all in a room to say, hey, just don't kick the ball to Hester and you guys will have a huge opportunity? No. You know, anyone could have figured that out. So, I mean, you know, Bears fans, we have really nothing. Yeah, it's fun to razz your friends back and forth. But when you take it to that level, come on now. When you compare the Bears to the Packers over the last 20 years, the Bears aren't even in the same level.
Well, that's what – I was laughing about that this morning. You know, I was listening to the local station, not the one owned by the Mickey Mouse Network. And, you know, the overnight guy is just he's a complete homer, and he hates the Packers. And there were people calling in and him talking to them and just celebrating the fact that the Packers lost. And all I kept thinking to myself was, well, yeah, they lost, but in the NFC Championship, the Bears had – one playoff game and didn't even deserve that.
Yeah.
So what, well, you know, I mean, like you said, it's comparing a good team to a team that's just a steaming pile of God knows what right now. And just to back up what I said earlier about Aaron Rodgers being a winner, Dan, in his career as quarterback, he's 126-63-1. He's had two losing seasons since taking over as the full-time starter for the Packers. What's Mitchell's record as a starting quarterback? Does anybody know? I'll look it up here real quick. But I'm going to guess he probably has a record.
14?
Oh, no, okay. Yeah, Mitch is a winner here. He's 29-21 in his career 50 goals. So,
Well, yeah, well, don't forget, a lot of those games that were lost were Mike Glennon and Nick Foles games.
You know, of course, to be fair, he hasn't won a playoff game yet, and Aaron Rodgers does have a Super Bowl ring. So, you know, and that's, you know, and like I said, I get, again, you know, like you said, it's fun to, you know, razz your friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got a guy I work with who was actually born in Green Bay. So, you know, they gave him a pretty hard time today. Oddly, I was surprised he showed up late. I didn't think he was going to show up at all. You know, but nobody got too egregious with it, you know, just kind of, ha-ha, you guys, you know, blew it, blah, blah, blah type of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, the morons I was listening to on the radio overnight, it's like they wanted to organize a parade and celebrate the fact that the Packers lost. And I'm like, look at what you idiots are talking about. You know, just the difference between these teams, and it's not like it's close. You know, the Packers will win the NFC Central next year unless Aaron Rodgers gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears are going to be lucky to finish 500 again. So, but yeah, we celebrate because they lost. Yes. And yeah, like you said, I would have told him the same thing. Hey, is it still 1985? How's your team doing? You been to a Super Bowl? You know, and of course I want the Bears to do good. We live in the Chicago area. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, these people and the guy who hosts just ticks, you know, just ticks me off. And oh, I forgot to tell you, I was going to text this. He stopped replying to me when I tweet him now because I keep correcting him. So I don't get responses anymore.
Oh, so he was replying to you at one point in time?
You know, him and his producer were replying to me. I don't know who it was. But last week I was listening to him, and they, you know, of course, still a lot of Bear talk. He was talking about who was going to be the quarterback. And he said, well, he would be interested to know what the Bears would have to give up for Jameis Winston to the Saints. So I, of course, grabbed my phone and I texted in saying they don't have to give up anything to the Saints. He's a free agent. All they have to do is sign him. He only had a one-year deal. Didn't hear back. Yeah, so, you know, I texted again. You know, what do you know? Help me out here. Why did you think Winston had more than a one-year deal? Didn't hear anything. I was like, damn it. I was like, well, I guess I'm done with this. So it was fun while it lasted. They probably blocked me.
Yeah, well, I was called stupid from one of their hosts. but yeah, that's another story. But, you know, like you said, Packers drafted a quarterback in the first round, kind of like they did with Aaron Rodgers. And, I mean, that's something you and I had discussed, God, what, 8 years ago? And wondering why the Bears, when they had Jay Cutler, were not drafting a quarterback. You know, this is another one of those where, you know, and I don't know who's got it into their mind or if they just listen to too much of, you know, ESPN reporting or, you know, all those other guys. But, I mean, every single first-round quarterback, aside from Patrick Mahomes, isn't with their team anymore. Hasn't won a championship, you know, really in the last 5-6 years. So this whole idea behind drafting a quarterback and putting him in, you know, his first year or, you know, maybe not his first season, but, you know, 6 games into the next one, when he hasn't learned it, he played a college game where – to me, and, you know, this is going to piss off a lot of college fans and people. To me, the college quarterback game is one of two things. Play action, roll out, run the ball if you can't pass it. That's why I don't watch college football. That's all you see. Quarterback runs the route out to the right. They never seem to go to the left. It's always out to the right because it's probably right-handed. And he fakes that he's going to throw to the Hail Mary because, you know, apparently that's all that, to me, I see in college, is that the one guy runs to the end zone, you know, on every play. And then he can't pass it to him, so what does he do? He runs and gets the first down. You know, and then they join the NFL, and they're like, oh, wait, I can't do that anymore because I get my ass kicked. You know, it's just, it's the same thing. So I don't – it's not like I think that these guys need to, you know, get drafted and spend 10 years, you know, i.e. Jimmy Garoppolo behind Tom Brady, and I know it wasn't that long, but you kind of get my drift. I still think they need tutelage. They need to develop and work within a system to understand it. You know, but and not only that, and learning the difference between the college game and the NFL game. The college game, you have 10,000 schools. I mean, when I was a kid, I feel like there was, what, a handful of bowl games? Now, are you watching the bowl games this weekend? It's like, what bowl game? Because everyone has a freaking bowl now. And I'm so glad for the teams that were just like, screw the bowls, bowl games, you know, COVID and whatever reason why. Because it's basically like, hey, all these teams that are division whatever, you all get a trophy because you went to a bowl game. BFD, you know, it doesn't, there's no value in it. So, but my point is you take 10,000 schools, you don't have the top, you know, all centralized in one place. So, now these guys go into the NFL and they're against the top talent and they just don't, they can't succeed.
Well, you know, it used to be, you know, like you said, you know, as a team's quarterback got older, they drafted a young guy to develop underneath him. You know, a la Jimmy Garoppolo with Tom Brady, even Aaron Rodgers with Brett Favre. You know, the Packers knew that relationship was coming to an end sooner rather than later. I think it went a little longer than they thought because he ended up there 3 years behind Favre. You know, and that used to be the deal. You didn't rush them in, you know, unless it fit. You know, the fit, or you were just desperate and needed a guy. Then, I don't know where, but down the line that changed. And, you know, it's like, well, if you take one, he's got to play. You know, he must play immediately. You know, Patrick Mahomes didn't play immediately. He played one game his first season. And, you know, the Chiefs knew what they had. And you got to remember, he wasn't highly rated coming out of college because he was in a shotgun system where all they did was throw. And they weren't sure if he had the proper understanding of an NFL game. You know, Lamar Jackson wasn't as highly rated, even though he's a Heisman Trophy winner, because he was a runner. So, you know, there's so much to going in, and they put so much emphasis on we've got to take the quarterback first. And these quarterbacks get drafted so much higher than they should, you know, a la Mitchell Trubisky, or you can go back to Ryan Leaf, who was the second pick in the draft after Peyton Manning, you know, and a lot of people thought the Colts made a mistake by taking Manning over Leaf. So, you know, it's just the oddest thing. And, you know, a lot also has to do with the team that you land on. You know, Mahomes was lucky enough to go to the Chiefs with Andy Reid. Trubisky, on the other hand, got stuck with Matt Nagy, who was basically just Reid's ball boy. And, you know, look at how their careers have paralleled. Mitch is now a free agent, and Mahomes signed a $400 million deal in the offseason and is going to back-to-back Super Bowls.
And it's part ownership in the –
Yes, of the Kansas City
the
Royals, which I would love, yes. So, you know, it just depends on, you know, there's a little luck involved, and, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, the Bears do have an opportunity to actually get a decent quarterback, but sadly, I don't think they have the ammo to trade for Deshaun Watson or Matthew Stafford. maybe they could land your guy Jimmy G, but he's had his struggles as well. So I don't know if that fixes their situation or if it's just a little better version of Mitchell Trubisky. So, you know, that's just kind of how it works out. But let's shuffle it up here, Dan, because we did actually have some baseball news going on, mostly featuring the Yankees, as they were the big movers over the weekend. You know, first they went out and they acquired another starting pitcher. They picked up Jameson Taillon from the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
It cost them four prospects. Apparently a couple of them are supposed to be pretty decent. I'm going to give these a shot here. The Pirates got Miguel Yolor, Rosney Contreras, Cole Escoto, and Kanan Smith in return for Taillon. But then the Yankees actually were not done, as they dealt Adam Ottavino, the reliever, to the Boston Red Sox, along with another one of their minor leaguers, Frank Hermann, and they also sent the Red Sox $850,000. So there's a lot of people calling it just a salary dump, because all they got in return was a player to be named later. You know, generally the Yankees don't dump salary, so I don't know if that's actually what it was, but you know, you like what the Yankees did here with these couple of moves?
Yeah, I was a little surprised they let go, well, you know, of Ottavino, but they're pretty stacked, and I think Jameson is I wouldn't say a huge addition, but definitely rounds out the end of that rotation.
So yeah, and you know, and of course they did also pick up Corey Kluber last week as well. So, you know, I am wondering now if that means we're not going to see Masahiro Tanaka back in a Yankee uniform. You know, because I'm trying to think. I want to look here at their depth chart and see what their rotation looks like. You know, because obviously, you know, they have Gerrit Cole. They should get Domingo Germán back. I think his suspension is up. If not, it's got to be pretty close. You know, and then there's Luis Severino. I don't know how far away he is from being back from, you know, from injury. Yeah, and then, yeah, you add Taillon and Kluber into that. You know, you still have Jordan Montgomery hanging around. And I'm trying to think, they had a minor leaguer who pitched pretty well for them last year, but I'm drawing a blank on his name. But you know, they're looking like they might be full up in the rotation, and you know, that leaves Tanaka looking for a new home.
Yeah, he's listed. But, you know, with the Ottavino trade, I did forget they had Zach Britton. So, and as long as he's healthy, that's a, you know, nice setup guy to Chapman.
Yeah, and, you know, while I won't hold 2020 against anybody, you know, Ottavino really struggled.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe the change of scenery will help him out. You know, and he should get some closing opportunities with the Red Sox that he wouldn't have gotten with the Yankees. So being in the last year of his deal, if he can go out and put up numbers, you know, there's obviously going to be another contract there waiting for him, you know, down, you know, next year with the team. And who knows, maybe as a closer. And you know, of course, the one thing the Red Sox need is pitching, pretty much of any kind, be it the starting or the relief, you know, type. And with the Yankees picking up the salary, it you know, some of the salary, it doesn't hurt the Red Sox as much with the luxury tax which they're desperately trying to stay under. But I'm a little surprised when I saw this is the first time that there's been a Red Sox-Yankee trade since 2014 and only the second time since 2008. So I guess they hate each other so much that they can't even make deals with each other.
Yeah, but I mean, does it really come down to that, or is it just there's nothing, you know, neither team wants to give the other team an edge.
Right, and I think that has more to it because they're in the same division. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, we're not going to help our division rival out here, even though the Yankees kind of did by adding Ottavino to the Red Sox bullpen. That'll be a big help to them because I'm trying to think. I know they have Matt Barnes, but they dealt away a couple relievers last year. So I don't know what else is still hanging out in that bullpen there. Let's see. Well, they added Ryan Brazier as a free agent. Was that last year? Yeah, that was last year. He was supposed to close and it didn't work out. And then they signed Matt Andreese as a free agent. But other than that, they have a relatively open-ended bullpen. So, you know, Ottavino will definitely slide in as the number one setup guy and sometimes closer. So we'll see how it ends up working out. But yeah, we didn't cover much on Taijuan, Dan. I think now by going to the Yankees, don't you think he has a really good chance to become a breakout starter? You know, now that he'll have a little support.
I think that's huge. That would be a huge help for him. But, you know, the one thing I did forget was the fact that he's actually out with Tommy John. Go figure.
Oh, is he? So
he hasn't
pitched
since 2019. So he should be ready.
Yeah, but he should be ready. Because remember, 2018 was that breakout year. Even with the Pirates, he went 14-10 with a 3.20 ERA, threw a couple complete games, and one of them was a shutout. You mentioned he got shut down in 2019. So, you know, hopefully he returns healthy and kind of picks up, you know, where he left off there. So, you know, we'll see how that kind of rolls out for him. But yeah, I like that. You know, I think they gave up quite a bit to get him. You know, four or even, you know, mid-range prospects is a lot, but you know, they seem to have a farm system they can keep dipping into, so hopefully it will it'll work out. But I do wonder, Dan, and maybe you can help me out with this, and I understand that it's just Pittsburgh and that's the way they do business, but what the hell is going on here? I mean, they moved Taijuan. They moved Joe Musgrove. So who's left to start games in Pittsburgh
Sean
next
Archer?
Year?
Is Archer's contract over?
Free agent, yeah. Or no, they DFA'd him.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah, I you know, and then, you know, they did trade Josh Bell, not that he's a pitcher. So I think they probably moved three of what would have been their highest paying contracts, with the exception of probably Polanco, who my guess makes more money than anybody else on the team, you know, and again, obviously having no fans, you know, has to have a little effect on what's going on here, but is it good Lord? I mean, how bad is it?
Well, I mean, they didn't have fans show up to begin with. So I think that's,
yeah, but they
work
in the road. So
they what?
They did better than the Rays.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about Pittsburgh. You know, it's a football town.
Well, here you go, Dan. Gregory Polanco is the only guy under an existing contract. He makes 11.6 this year with two option years. Everybody else is in arbitration.
Well, at least you know they won't be going over the luxury tax.
Yeah, they're not going to get anywhere close. Let's see. Their projected payroll for this year is $43 million. It was 62 last year, so they've dumped almost $20 million from their payroll. So, yeah. That's how it worked out. Oh, and it looks like they bought Archer out for $250,000. But yeah, it's going to be a tough year to be a Pirates fan, huh?
Oh yeah, I mean, tougher than most years, right?
Yeah,
and
I mean, what
you know,
looking at, are they going to win 60 games if we play them all?
I don't think so. I mean. The Pirates had their run, and the thing that sucks about it the most for them is, unfortunately, the Cubs and the Cardinals were also having the identical run that they were having. So it's just interesting to see a team that was, you know, on the verge of 100 wins not too long ago, you know, not even 5 years later, is completely out of any kind of running.
So, yeah, and, you know, I forgot to mention, Dan, when we were talking about the Red Sox, they actually picked up one of your guys over the weekend. A guy I think you always seem to end up with in fantasy, Garrett Richards, got a one-year, $10 million deal to join the Red Sox. So, you know, I'm guessing he'll find a spot in that rotation, you know, with kind of his death. That they are for pitching, so you'll have the opportunity to get him back on the team again. Maybe I'll nominate him for you in the auction league. You can get him a couple bucks.
That better be, you know, a 10 o'clock, a 10 p.m. nomination.
Well, then you might not have the money. You might go for a dollar, and I might get stuck with him. So.
Well, no, I mean, honestly, he's not a player I would draft. But you're right. You know, he's definitely going to be out there. And who knows? You know, maybe he has some kind of, you know, and I don't even want to, you know, knock him and say he has some kind of success in Boston, but more so can stay healthy for an entire season in Boston.
He had those two healthy years with the Angels, and he did really well. But I think those have been the only 2 years he's been healthy. So, you know, just one of those kind of situations you run into where, you know, it's just a pitcher with a lot of promise. And we hear it quite a bit that just can't, for whatever reason, stay healthy.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he's more of an innings guy and gets you strikeouts, right?
You know, again, when he was healthy, he was. So, you know, now you just, like I said, you gotta hope that he can stay healthy. We'll see what he works out to. But you know, another guy with a 1 year deal who can stay healthy and prove himself. You know, there's definitely a multi year contract for him somewhere.
For Richards?
Yeah. You know, I mean, if he goes out and post 10 or 12 wins, you know, there's probably a team out there willing to give him a 2 or 3 year deal, you know, to be their third or fourth starter, right?
Oh, yeah, he might be in pinstripes if he does something like that. Well, and, you know, the reason I kind of threw out there that he must have been an innings guy or a strikeout guy was, like you said, when he's healthy. You know, because that's a majority, you know, for me personally, when it comes to fantasy, guys, you know, pitchers that I get off waivers, those are the guys I'm looking for. You know,
yeah.
I don't, and, you know, it's a philosophy for fantasy and everyone's different. But when you're picking up pitchers, you know, mid-season, you know, whether you have an injury or whatever, that's the things I'm always looking for. Innings, strikeouts. I don't really care about wins or losses for those guys, you know, because cause it doesn't really help. I mean, I'll look at a guy, and if he has, you know, more wins than losses in a 14 or 30 day period, he definitely gets a bump, you know, because he's doing something right. But yeah, I mean, you know, Richards was always a guy I picked up because of innings and, you know, strikeouts. Because then towards the end of the week, if he's not really a winning pitcher, as long as you hit that minimum, you're like, well, you know, I could leave this guy out. So
yeah, and then we had a couple other signings to run through here because I had a big rumor that I wanted to throw at you. Jason Castro is returning to the Houston Astros on a 1-year deal. So he'll
share catching
He'll share catching duties with Martin Maldonado. And then another pretty good sign here, Dan. Brad Hand finds a home. You know, there were a ton of rumors about what Brad Hand was going to end up with. He ends up going to Washington on a 1-year, $10 million deal. So a pretty good number there for Hand. A little less than what the offer would have been for Cleveland had they hit him with the tag that I for some reason never remember the name of. What is that called now, Dan, that I can't remember?
Oh, the qualifying offer.
Thank you. For some reason, I just can't remember that anymore. So, yeah, a couple, you know, that kind of catches us up on the signing. But the interesting thing I heard here just last night, Dan, I was a little kind of surprised or kind of interested by this. Apparently, the Blue Jays, you know, who added George Springer, have actually been in contact with the Cubs, and they're looking to structure a deal that would land Toronto Chris Bryant, who we would assume the Cubs have been trying to trade for a while now. But not only would Chris Bryant be involved in the deal, but also Kyle Hendricks, who is, you know, got a multiple-year contract for about $14 million a year. Now, of course, all the Cubs would get back would be prospects, Dan. But none of those prospects would have the last name Biggio, Bichette, or Guerrero. So I'm going to kind of give you this here and let you know what you think of it.
Well, Big Jack, I don't know how that turns them into the Astros because they're supposed to be picking up as many Astros. To be honest, I mean, you know, good if that happens, good for Chris and Kyle because they won't have to change colors. And, you know, they might not even have to leave the country. And on top of that, they might actually get some more respect. So, I mean, let's be honest, though, for the Blue Jays, you know, this is what we talked about. This is exactly what we talked about. And, yeah, this is irritating to even hear this rumor. And it makes you want to, you know, just drive up to Jed Hoyer and just start, you know, yelling at him incessantly, like, I'm a Bears fan, you know, messing with a Packers fan, but it's not Jed's fault. Jed didn't do it. This is the situation he was put into. And the thing that sucks about it, though, most of all, and this is what we've talked about a million, thousand, hundred, gazillion, quadrillion times, it's nobody's going to give anything up for Bryant. Because, this, you know, because he's going to walk away from the Cubs next year. And I think that's what's irritating is Theo left them in a position where they can't even trade the guy away because no one's going to take him singly. And what I mean by that is no one's just going to take Chris Bryant for this, that, and whatever prospect because the Cubs don't even have any prospects in their system to attach with Chris Bryant. You know, I'm sorry, but when, especially when you talk about the Blue Jays, there's no interest for the Blue Jays in Nico Horner or Happ. There's no need. So you kind of put everyone in the best position. So essentially, no matter what the Cubs do, I think they're going to lose out in the trade things, you know, any kind of trades they make, if they make them. And then if they move him, you obviously you've lost the Brizzo thing, you know, with his contract coming up. You better be on moving Rizzo too. And now where are we? We're back to 2012 or 13, and we're back to watching a Cubs team that is in the third largest market in the country, is one of handful of teams that have their own TV network, yet our Chicago Cubs are going to be equivalent to I'm trying to find the team. What would you say, the South Bend Cubs? No, they wouldn't be single A, would they? Would they be more Iowa Cubs? So, you know, whether you like it or not, and you're, oh, prospects, you can't be excited. There's no light at the end of the tunnel for this team.
Yeah, this move will save the Cubs about $35 million in salary next season. Who can't get excited about that?
Yeah. They could save the $35 million in salary. Because, well, you know, they can make up some of it now that, you know, we have a new president in office, and all of a sudden now the Democratic governor of Illinois has allowed indoor dining in Chicago. You know, it's funny how that works. Is that coincidence?
Yes.
Literally the week of, or the weekend before the inauguration, Chicago opens up for indoor dining. So, you know, maybe the Ricketts will have that opportunity to make some money back. But, you know, I thought, let's just say that Theo was a great hype man, probably the best hype man in the world for Ricketts. And now, as Theo's gone, we realize that, you know, maybe Theo complaining about the money wasn't just totally a farce. And, you know, Tom and his family aren't really that frugal.
But don't forget, Dan, the Cubs did make a big free agent signing on, I think it was Thursday or Friday last week. They signed Austin Romine to a one-year contract.
Yeah. And, you know, and the funny thing about that one is, that's the biggest contract signed in the NL Central.
Yeah, that's frightening, isn't it?
I'm just going to watch the White Sox next year. How much time do we have? Because I have four different clocks, and they all say something different. Big Jack, I just wanted to say you brought this up a while ago, but WWE finally inked their deal, and it's with NBC's Peacock Network. So all your WWE TV stuff, not Raw, not SmackDown, everything else is going to be on the Peacock. So if you subscribe to Peacock for $5, it's yours. I forgot the date where it starts. I don't know. But it will be interesting because, Big Jack, I'm a Comcast subscriber, and we get Peacock for free. So I don't know if I'll really be watching pay-per-views, but I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, we don't get it. I looked to see if it was on the stream yet, but I haven't found it. So,
you have to search for it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not that interested, but you never know. All right, well, we'll be back tomorrow. Anytime you want.